we're doing here is taking that step out. The authority won't be needed to come to the legislature, and they will be able to utilize the money, the excess money. And it, under the way it's written now, they can use one half of the excess without having to essentially come back and make a justification. Under the amendment, they would be able to use the full excess. And in the past, you know, we could actually take the excess for general fund dollars. It's put it into another fund, put it into education, put it into anywhere we chose to. I thought the one half was a good compromise. It gives them the ability to use some of the surplus and still leaves, if they need more for the program, then they've got to come back to the legislature for a front section appropriation for the excess that's going to be there.
Your Representative Navarro, the Interior.
The reason I decided that, or at least I decided I'm going to change, is that they have to come back to the legislature every year anyway. They have to appropriate it to the loan fund every year on an annual basis, and at that point the legislature could determine, one, what the needs were of the fisheries loan program, if that's all we wanted to fund, or we could not appropriate any money and not have any loan program and have all the money go to the general fund, if that was our choice. So we look at it on an annual basis anyway.
Representative Terrio?
I'll pass, Mr. Chairman.
Any further discussion? One with the two-year limit, how does that affect the loan program?
Sorry, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Further discussion? Okay, the question before us is, should we rescind our action in failing to adopt the motion, which was to delete the word one half of on page 6, line 8. Are there any objections to the motion? Okay, no objections, then we have rescinded our action. So we're back to the motion, Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I would like to move the amendment.
Okay, the amendment has been moved. There's objections and discussion. Are you ready for the question? The clerk, call the roll.
President Martin.
Yes.
President Navarro.
Yes.
President Parnell.
No.
President Terrio.
No.
President Brown.
Yes.
President Foster.
No.
President Grusendorf.
Yes.
President Hanley.
No.
President Larson.
Yes.
President McCain.
Yes.
6 yea, 4 nay.
Okay. Please note, do we have anything else on this bill at this time?
Mr. Chairman, I move the bill with individual recommendations.
Do we have a motion? Are there any objections? Hearing none then, committee substitute to Senate Bill Number 251, Finance Amended, as passed from committee with individual recommendations.
Mr. Chairman, before we move to another bill, I have an informative question.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Martin.
I was wondering, sir, what kind of deodorant you were wearing when you explained how this fund works. We got a whiff of something over here.
Speed stick.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Roth.
I'll just note that our action on this bill has the same defect that I discussed a moment ago with respect to the other bill.
And Representative Brown does bring up a good point. What we're going to do from now on, Carol, is that we're going to schedule only 8:30 in the 8:30 meetings every morning. And every bill that we have in committee, we will put on the agenda for 8:30 in the morning. And we will stand in recess. We will not hold any bills in committee. We will just be in recess, and we'll take those bills up then as we're able to come back in the afternoon so that we don't have any problems with the announcements And I'm very sorry for the inconvenience it's going to cost the public. But if the public has a complaint, they can go to the Ethics Committee.
Yes, sir.
Representative Brown?
Well, I am sympathetic to wanting to make this work well and to your problem, and I would just urge you to make a slight modification to what you just said. I think standing in recess might work out. I would urge you not to put every bill in the committee on the calendar if the committee has no intention of hearing it or working on it, because I think that would be counterproductive and would defeat, you know, what we're trying to achieve.
No, well, my intent is, you know, I didn't know this morning whether we were going to get through one bill or four bills.
I realize that, but I think there's a difference in putting, you know, the limited calendar that we have, although it does have, you know, six, eight, sometimes more bills. We are actively considering those bills or may take action on them at that meeting, but I'm sure there are many other bills in committee right now that we have not, do not plan to actually take up that day, so I would discourage it.
All bills would have to have their five-day announcements, Representative Brown. Any new bills coming into committee that we haven't, we still have to meet all the requirements. But I'm saying once we met the requirements, then we got to be able to conduct our business in an orderly manner in the short time we got left. Representative Terrio?
Mr. Chairman, I think actually the way that people would deal with that is very similar to the way they deal with it now. Even myself, I call up your staff and I say, what do you anticipate coming up out of the rolling calendar tomorrow morning? So even though everything will be listed, I think the departments and the general public will probably do the same thing. It's just now that we've met this, in my opinion, silly requirement.
Yeah, I'm just trying to do away with the listing at 1:30 so that we very seldom come back at 1:30, but I do not want to get involved that it's 8:30. We got to give a 24-hour announcement for anything at 1:30. So we will just simply be standing in recess until we have an appropriate time to come back. Representative Navarre?
Chairman, are you just suggesting that all bills that are scheduled for hearing be held? Not all bills in committee.
All bills that are scheduled for hearing.
Okay, thank you. Yes.
Okay, there was a confusion there.
That was my point. Thank you.
Okay, I'm sorry for that confusion.
What's the next one?
Okay, the next bill we have before us is Senate Bill 247. The committee substitute for Senate Bill 247, second finance. It's sponsored by the Senate Rules Committee by request of the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee, and the House Finance Committee is the first committee of referral. We have two zero fiscal notes, from one from the administration and one from legislators. And I know we need some information from Mr. Snowden, so let's recognize Mr. Snowden in regards to an effective date. Then I want to recognize our Mr. Welker.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Art Snowden, Administrative Director of the Court System. As this committee knows, we've been working actively on arranging a purchase of the Anchorage Times building. I have with me a packet of papers that possibly could be handed out. Possibly I could hand them out. Mr. Chairman, what this packet will show you, especially when you get that, if you look at the last page, that the an independent appraiser took a look at the efficacy of the Times purchase and has stated for the record that the state would save about $3.7 to $4 million by this purchase. In order to complete this purchase, the effective date on the bill as it relates to courts would need to be moved, and that's what the effect of the CS is, to allow us to January 1 to complete this purchase. I've made it clear to the sponsor of the bill and others that this is the only purchase we intend to do over that time. We're not looking to do anything else, but we did want an appropriate amount of time to complete the actions necessary to bring this purchase into fruition. I'd be glad to answer any questions that any member of the committee would have.
It's my understanding that that change is already in the proposed work draft that we have before us.
It is, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions to Mr. Snowden?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Browns?
I don't know, is the second finance what you're calling? I don't have a work draft. I don't find a work draft.
Is this it? As far as didn't say work.
I just have the Senate version, the CS for Senate version, second finance.
It says work draft I.
I got D. I'm just having copied, so.
Oh.
Chairman, I would believe that the work draft you're referring to is a proposed committee substitute, a proposed CS for the Finance Committee, which I
have not seen it.
Okay, and that's been copied at this time, Representative Navarro?
That's been copied here.
Mr. Chairman?
Chairman McLean?
Yes, I have a proposed amendment, too.
Do you have the work draft I?
No.
Okay, why don't we wait for that then, and maybe we could get Mr. Welker's remarks while we're waiting here.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome, Andy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, as you and many of the members of the committee are well aware, the Budget and Audit Committee and the Audit Division have been keenly aware and concerned about several lease purchases that have occurred in the recent past. Primarily started off with the Wildwood Correctional Facility acquisition, continued with the concerns over the acquisition of the Court Plaza building or the Spam Can here in Juneau, and then of course concerns we raised last fall and early winter concerning the court system's acquisition of the Anchorage Times Complex. Each of those facilities, we raised different concerns, but they all come back to the provisions of the procurement code that in the past have allowed acquisition of facilities without prior approval of the legislature. What we did last legislative session was tighten down those provisions quite a bit. The one element that we did not include, and which is the primary concern that this bill is addressing, is requiring not only the administration to get prior approval of the legislature for lease purchase acquisitions, but to provide in clearly in statute that all branches of government, the legislature, the court system, and the university also included in here, to make it specific that they all require prior specific legislative approval by law to proceed with lease purchases. The Senate Finance Committee also amended the legislation to in the sections that deal with leases to lower the threshold whereby agencies of the state are required to give notice to the legislature of their intent to enter or renew leases. That threshold has been lowered so that more leases are brought to the attention of the legislature for approval. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'll stop for now and be happy to answer any specific questions anyone might have on the bill.
Okay, Representative Henley, I believe, and then Martin. Representative Martin.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, one of the concerns I have is what I think is an extension on page 4. Line 13 to 15, and this is the legislative council powers. I don't mind what we're doing with the courts here. I don't mind what we're doing with the university, but I am concerned about this new extended power to the legislature that allows us to exercise control over legislative space to rent and lease facilities and lease purchase facilities. Could you explain what limitations we have there? Is this an expansion of the council powers, and then is there a numerical limit like it is under courts and universities?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Martin, what the first three sections of the bill do, including the section you're referring to, is put specific mention in the statutes of the university, the judicial branch, and the legislature that specifically says that leases they enter are subject to the provisions that we are amending and defining in the procurement code. So that language doesn't expand any authority. It simply clarifies in the legislature's case, it clarifies that any acquisitions that the council's authority are subject, the actions of the council are subject to those provisions, which would require full approval of the legislature. So actually it clarifies a limitation on legislative council rather than expand the authority.
I meant to get that expression, that's a limitation, but I never knew that they had the power in the first place for lease purchase. This seems to me, up to this limit, we're saying they have the power, and that even that I'm worried about.
In the past, and what this bill is trying to address is the lease purchase sections of statute required the legislature and the judicial branch to give notice to the legislature that they intended to lease purchase, as was the case with the Anchorage Times Complex by the court system. They did follow the terms, the specific terms of the law. They did give notice. However, the statute never required them to get approval by the legislature, and that's what we're trying to do here, is to amend it to put in that specific approval requirement as well as notification.
As I said, I'm not worried about the courts and I understand it, but isn't this new? We're limiting the power of the legislature. I'm worried about the council. I don't trust ourselves as much as I trust the court or the university, is what I'm saying. Some of them may end up buying a mini capital someplace.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Martin, we are, by this legislation, further limiting what authority the council had prior to this bill.
Thank you.
Okay, maybe to keep things moving, the chair will move at this time that the vehicle we have before us for consideration will be the work draft identified as I. Are there any objections? Hearing none, then that will be the vehicle before us. We have a proposed amendment. Chairman McLean?
Yes, I'd like to move amendment out.
Call it number one?
Number one. Okay, I'd like to move amendment number one. What it does is this on page 8,
line 23.
This adds the repealer that was included in the earlier version on the Senate side, including the first Senate finance version. And it relates to an old authorization for a $30 million courthouse in Fairbanks that dates back to 1986. And Mr. Welker found this item while he was assembling information for the bill, and this was the only outdated lease purchase authorization he could find. And it does make sense to include this as part of the cleanup in this legislation. If our fiscal outlook improves, then the court system decides to pursue this as a priority capital project, they can come back to the legislature for approval.
Okay, any discussion on amendment number one? Representative Brown.
Could we hear from Mr. Snowden?
Mr. Chairman, the Senate took it out because they realized that the legislature had approved that, and there is no way that the court system would move to do a lease purchase in Fairbanks without coming back to the legislature to seek money for design and engineering. So you will have those types of controls in the future. Fairbanks is in terrible shape, as I've testified to in the past. We would like to see the authorization remain in the bill.
Since 1986, that's almost 10 years.
Mr. Chairman, we've made it clear that Anchorage was our number one priority. We're only allowed basically one priority in the things that we do, and Fairbanks is our second priority when the Anchorage complex reaches completion. And then we would be asking you for some type of approvals, but we will not go and do any lease purchase without coming back to this body for specific funding for design and engineering. So it will be before you again, even with the approval on the books.
Any further discussion on amendment number one? Representative Henley.
I appreciate Mr. Snowden's comments. Let me ask Mr. Welker. This is where we got into the problem before. We thought we would have to appropriate money, and we find that is not necessary. If they're going to, that's fine. But if they don't have to, and I think that's the case with some of these other purchases, they never came to the legislature. They used certificates of participation between two different agencies. And with this authorization, do you think they could use that same process and never come back to the legislature? Now, we would still have the ability on the backside, once these things are already entered into, we get into this whole thing that the certificates are already out there, they're purchased, they've got the money in hand, and we've got to make the annual appropriations for those payments. Now we get into the situation, are we not going to make the payment, and wonder, is this going to affect our bond rating? I mean, this is before certificates of participation. I don't think we had the problem because they had to come to us for the money.
Mr. Snowden?
Mr. Chairman, to clarify, I couldn't do, from my point of view, any COPs before I knew how much the building was going to cost. And before I could know how much it's going to cost, I'd have to do design and engineering. And I need to come to you for that money. I just wanted to clarify that.
Chairman McLean?
Yes, I want to reiterate that we have been looking at repealing all authorizations, and I think this is one of the cleanup items that we have to deal with. We don't have the dollars right now. We're in a deficit, and so this is approximately $29 million.
Further discussion? Representative Terrio.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I certainly don't trust the Supreme Court, but I trust Mr. Snowden.
Should we ask when he's retiring?
Do I hear a motion to replace the Supreme Court?
So, Mr. Chairman, I object to the amendment.
Okay. Are there objections to amendment number one? Justice. Hearing objections, would the clerk call the roll?
President Mark.
Yes.
President Navarre.
No.
President Carnell.
Yes.
President Tejeda.
No.
President Brown.
No.
President Grusendorf.
No.
President Hanley.
Yes.
President McLean.
Yes.
President Larson.
Yes.
5 yeas, 4 nay.
Okay, please note that amendment number one has been adopted. Amendment number two. Terrio will move amendment number two. That's on page 6, line 25, add after renewal options, the language that will say, except the Board of Regents may, when leases are to be paid for with federal grant funds, recovery of indirect costs of university activities or other university receipts as defined in Alaska Statute 1440-491, and the grant or other commitment is firm for 2 years or less, enter into a lease with an initial term equal to the term of the firm commitment that was optional renewal periods for up to 5 years. A lot of language there. Discussion on amendment number two. Representative Henley.
What are other university receipts in 1440-491?
Mr. Walker, could you help us?
Mr. Chairman, I believe that basically includes virtually all receipts of the university other than general fund monies, if I'm not mistaken.
Representative Henley?
Mr. Chairman, if that's the case, I don't have a problem with the federal funds or the other ones. I got to look and see how it ties in with is firm for 2 years or less.
I'd like Ms. Algie to probably come forward to help us here with the explanation. Welcome, Ellison.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Allison Algie, Statewide Budget Director for the University of Alaska. First of all, in response to your question, Representative Hanley, the reason university receipts are included in here is that it is under the university receipts category that we account for all of our contract work that is non-federal. So any contract work we get from private corporations or from other state agencies would be coming in under the university receipts category. The problem we run into is that we have frequently received grants that are made for a one-year firm commitment that could then potentially be extended for several years. And the present language would limit us under those circumstances to a one-year lease with a one-year renewal option. What we're proposing here is that under those circumstances, we'd be allowed to have up to 5 one-year renewal options. That's the way we presently bid space. We put in very tight rent escalators. And if the market were to go down, we would then simply rebid the lease.
Please proceed.
But student fees are also program receipts. Is that not correct?
Mr. Chairman, the student tuition and fees is a separate category of funds and not included in university receipts.
So it's not under 1440-491?
No, it's not.
Okay, further discussion on amendment number two. Are there any objections to amendment number two? Hearing none, amendment number two has been adopted. Do we have any other amendments?
Chairman.
Representative Noah.
I'd look at the draft that I handed out, the proposed House Finance draft, the only change is on page 8 of the draft that I handed out, section 12, is the only thing that's being added. Would you like to explain that for us? It just allows them until the end of the year to complete the time purchase.
Mr. Snow.
Mr. Chairman, I think I previously testified to the effect of the CS. It does exactly what Representative Navarre suggests it does. It does nothing beyond that. I cannot speak for Mr. Welker. I don't know how he feels about this amendment. I have been told he does not object, and I've been told that the prime sponsor does not object, but I don't mean to put that in the record because a representative of the prime sponsor is here, as is Mr. Welker.
Mr. Welker.
Mr. Chairman, as you know, the Budget and Audit Committee met last December and thoroughly reviewed the Anchorage Times Complex acquisition that was going forward very rapidly at that point in time. That process has slowed somewhat. They are doing what I believe to be a due diligence in reviewing the economic feasibility of that acquisition. And what this language will allow is for the court system to proceed with that acquisition, notwithstanding the provisions that we're amending here today. So according to Mr. Snowden's assurances that this is here simply for to have a little longer window of opportunity than the effective date would otherwise provide for the acquisition of the Times Complex. And I have no objection to that, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, any further discussion on committee substitute for Senate Bill 247, second finance?
Yes, sir.
Representative Martin?
Mr. Chairman, I'm looking at page 6, line 22, 27, and I went to double check. I know what our limits are now, Mr. Wilker, on 500,000 and 2.5 million, but when I go to page 5 and begin this section off, section 6, we talked about that if it exceeds or intends to exceed, they must come to the legislature. And I know we had a $10 million there. But is this I'm worried about line 24, that extra word again exceeds the original terms. Once you're up to $2.5
million,
that's it. You have to, there's no way you can get around that. You have to come through the full legislature. Even if your prior agreement, like some may have now, may be $3 million or $5
million. Mr. Chairman, this section 6 deals with leasing and not lease purchasing or lease financing. And what the language does is does lower the threshold. In the past, an agency could lease up to $1 million a year or $10 million over the term of the lease without notifying the legislature. What we're now saying is any lease that exceeds 500,000 or 2.5 over the term must be approved by the legislature.
We're saying current leases are going to be reviewed.
Not current leases. It would be entering into or renewing any lease.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Chairman McLean?
There's no further discussion.
Chairman, did we adopt the
yes, we did.
Section 12 amendment?
Well, we adopted the work draft that had it in.
Okay, then. But we were working off the original draft, weren't we?
No, we were working off of I.
Yours. We dropped yours first. Okay.
That was the first thing we did.
We meant to do it before you got in.
That's what threw you off.
I had it.
Chairman
McLean.
Yes, move to... Move House CS for CS for Senate Bill 247 Finance as amended with accompanying fiscal notes out of committee with individual recommendations.
In noted that Section 12 was included as the motion for the vehicle. Are there any objections? Hearing none, then, committee substitute for Senate Bill 247 Second Finance is moved from committee. The next bill we have before us, committee substitute sponsor substitute for House Bill 487, Judiciary. It's an act relating to the sale, rental, or display for sale or rental of materials harmful to minors at places where minors are present or allowed to be present. It's sponsored by Representative Cott, and here I'm representing Representative Cott. Mr. Phelps.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Jack Phelps, aide to Representative Cott, pardon me, prime sponsor of House Bill 487. Thank the committee for hearing the bill today. please excuse me, I'm battling a little throat problem here. House Bill 487 is an effort to express the state's legitimate concern for the exposure of, an unwanted exposure of minors to obscene material. And I'll try to confine my comments to some brief remarks concerning the contents of the bill and the way in which the bill was structured. The bill was prompted by some existing concerns regarding the display of obscene material to material that's obscene to minors in various parts of our state, particularly in rural Alaska. The bill uses a definition of the material harmful to minors that is drawn from a Supreme Court decision, which is well known, Miller versus California, which defines obscenity. The difference between this definition and the one in Miller is that this applies it to minors. Otherwise, it's virtually identical to the Miller definition. Furthermore, the definition is expanded by specific definitions of what constitutes a depiction of obscene material, and that also was drawn from language approved by the court, specifically from a case known as Casada, which was approved at the Tenth Circuit Court level, which is a federal court. The bill, as it's currently drafted, aims at a legitimate state purpose, and it is very carefully crafted to achieve that purpose while putting minimal restriction upon the First Amendment rights. In fact, because the definition deals with a definition of obscenity, I believe that it does not impact First Amendment rights and that it puts a minimal restriction on industry. Essentially, what the bill does is simply make it illegal for businesses to sell or rent material that is obscene to minors, and if that material is on display, it must be either behind binder racks if it is printed material, or if it is not printed material and the obscene material is on the cover, it must be covered. I guess I'll leave the summary at that and be willing to take comments from the committee or questions.
Any questions for Mr. Phelps? Are you Representative Navarre?
Yeah. In the definition of harmful to minors, where it says means any description or representation in whatever form, does that include, as was referenced in the letter from Representative Cott, does that include rap music and others that's displayed for sale?
Through the chair, Representative Navarre, if indeed the rap music or any other form of music contains material that falls within this definition, it would, that's true, it would, verbal depictions would be covered. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, also I just had a question on page one, where it says the legislature also finds that it's both desirable and possible to limit the exposure of minors to harmful material harmful to minors while not unreasonably interfering with the normal trade and commerce. In Alaska, I think before you can say that, you've got to figure out just exactly what all it is that under the harmful to minors section is included in A, the average which has the following characteristics: the average adult person, which is that defined in the statutes currently. Applying contemporary community standards, is that applied in the, defined in the statutes currently? We find that the material has a predominant tendency to appeal to the purient interest in sex to minors. And I'm wondering if those types of adjectives and descriptions are defined other places in the statute. Otherwise, it's just wide open to somebody's interpretation of what it means.
Through the chair, Representative Navarre, to your specific questions with respect to contemporary community standards, on page 3, line 16, contemporary community standards is defined, pardon me, in this act to mean contemporary standards prevailing in the state as a whole. To your general question with respect to the definition of the average adult person, prurient interest, and so forth, those definitions, first of all, this statement, this three-part-type test, is language developed and approved by the Supreme Court of the United States. It's not something that is new. It is not something that is not understood. And when you use words like this, absent a particular legal need for a legal definition, you use the standard dictionary definition, and I do not believe that they are ambiguous. I do not believe that they need specific definition. And I would further point out that not only is this definition a standard one in courts of law, but it's also a matter of statute in many other places in other states.
Mr. Chairman.
Chairman McLean.
I cannot even believe that this even went into finance, this bill. There are some questions that I have. One, on page 3, lines 14 and 15, who gets to decide whether an item on display has any serious literary, artistic, or political value for minors? And also, within the Old Testament, you have seen naked people in the Bible, and so would that be censoring them? And the other thing I'd like to know is, what does it mean on page 3, line 24, please explain what it means for male genitals to be covered in a discernible turgid state. I don't even know what that means.
I'll try to remember the questions in order here. With respect to who determines, let's see, where did that go?
Who determines whether an item for display has any serious literary, artistic, or political value for minors? Who determines that?
Average adult person.
What I'm going to do here is to break off, or we have one person that wants to be heard from the public. He's online. Mr. Bill Pops. From Kenai, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
The committee is ready for your testimony, Bill, if you would like to speak on this bill at this time.
Okay, very good. My name is Bill Pop. I am a music and bookstore owner in Soldotna and Homer. I am calling to speak about this bill in regard to my great concern in its nebulous wording. And I have a number of issues with this bill that causes me great concern in the sense of who is going to be in control of the various decision-making processes that decide and determine what fits the bill in regards to the materials that I particularly sell, music and books. I'm trying to discern what contemporary community standards mean as far as how it prevails in the state and who decides what contemporary community standards are. There are a number of other minor points within this bill that I take some issue with. On page 3, section 4, the description of bizarre costumes can be pretty broadly interpreted depending on your particular individual case. I have a number of First Amendment concerns with this in regards to whether or not this is going to be denying rightful First Amendment access to information based on the message that's being delivered in either the music or books that we sell. I'm also concerned about the fact that I receive literally hundreds of new titles each week, and how am I going to be able to discern what is going to violate the clauses within this bill and what isn't? It'll basically run me out of business, or I will just blatantly have to disregard the law because I will not have the ability to preview every single book and every single piece of music that walks through my doors. That's not even including special order issues. We have a number of customers, literally hundreds a week, who come in and special order books and music. And am I going to have to go through and decide whether or not this material is going to get me in trouble in regards to the basis of this bill? Another issue, just from a fiscal perspective, is the enforcement of this bill. Where's the money going to come from to enforce this bill? The media is quite full of the issues in regards to the state finances. We're not in an ascending financial position. We are not gaining more cash flow. Our cash flow is going down in the state as a whole. Who's going to enforce this? And, where's the money going to come from? I'm very concerned about this bill. I think that it's somewhat sanctimonious in nature. It is a group of individuals trying to pass on their specific moral point of view on enforcing it on the rest of the state, and it is totally disregarding other points of view. And with that, I would hope that the committee would vote not to pass this bill.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions to Mr. Pops this time? Representative Terrio?
So if the application of this bill was narrowed so that it did not cover recorded material and was targeted specifically to adult movies, adult magazines, would you still have an objection?
I would have a concern, but my objections would be less strenuous. I'm a father of two children, and I have concerns about pornographic material. I don't even want to begin to get into describing what is and is not pornographic material. We all know what kind of a sticky wicket that is. But I would have less of an objection to this bill if it were narrow, because I feel that the scope right now is beyond broad.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Martin.
Surprised that you were concerned about what is community standards of obscenity, and that has been upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court in a number of cases, especially concerning bookstores and movies and so on. I thought if anyone would know what the community standards were of your community, it would be those who were purchasing and selling magazines and films and records.
Well, first off, I didn't use the word obscenity. What I was dealing with was in regards to page 3, section 1, harmful to minors, and the description of contemporary community standards prevailing in the state as a whole. Does that mean that on each issue we're going to have to go out and gain a consensus from the state based on majority rule as to what the contemporary community standard is? I agree with you that the Supreme Court has ruled as it has, but I think they've also left it wide open in the long run in terms of what that standard is.
Right, they didn't want to make a national standard nor a whole state standard, but they did allow communities, and I assume that your customers, your adult customers with children, would let you know real quick.
I deal with my customers on an individual basis. I don't deal with them as under the basis of a majority demanding that the minority not be allowed access to particular written material. And that's my concern. This is a suppression of thought bill.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, I would think that maybe we should add a section to the bill to add inquisition for the offenders of this legislation.
I approve.
Representative Brown, and then we're going to have to...
Mr. Chairman, aren't we way beyond the deadline for hearing House bills?
Never too late for good things.
And I would just note that this bill has the same procedural flaws I mentioned on the first two bills that we dealt with today. And, Mr. Chairman, to the substance of the bill, I think I understand, and I